Are you in the Lord's army?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's the title of the message today. It's a question. And you fell for it when you said, yes, sir. Because the answer that follows immediately itself, it poses a challenge, a serious challenge, because we begin to say, we immediately say, yes, sir. You know, and that's the problem. We say yes, but we've not even asked questions. We've not asked questions. Are you in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. Are you in the Lord's army? Yes. I think that itself is an issue, because it's a serious something. It's a serious something. It's something you have. You should ask questions. Are we at war? That's the first question. Are we at war? Why do we need an army? What will my remuneration look like? What will I receive if I join this army? Right? What will I receive if I join this army? What is expected of me joining this army? Because you say, are you in the Lord's army? You say, yes, sir. If I don't say, let's do this now, you say, I cannot do this. But you just said, yes, sir. So I think we answer too quickly. That's the truth. We answer too quickly. I think we need to look at a lot of things. And so I want to begin to talk to you next few, because it's one thing to say yes, sir, and actually not be in the army, not actually participate in the army. You see. So I want us to look at it, and so that we can take a conscious decision. There are assumptions. And I struggled last night, even though I thought it was going to be easy, but making my notes last night and looking at what I'm going to share with you today, it was tough. I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, this one, you will not sleep, this one. You know, and really, I it was difficult. I slept because I was tired. Then I got up. Prayed, made my notes, and a breakthrough came to show you, to make you, help you understand it. And I believe that with this teaching, it will help us understand what our answer should be, and then we'll go deeper. What the remunerations are like, what the blessings are like, and because there could be challenges. The challenges, maybe we'll get into when we get there. We'll look at them. Somebody could say, if you're not in this army, you will not get anything. God will not do anything for you. That's not true. You're not protected. You're not defended. You are not this. That's not true. We have to show and make you see the difference between that, when you step into the army, when you accept your summons, your call up. Are you here? Are you in the Lord's army? I said, calm down. I just used 12 minutes just now to say, calm down. I know you want to say yes. I don't have a problem with your yes. I think we need to know the meaning. Because we don't know the meaning, and we train our children from young to start to say, yes, sir. And then you hear and say, yes, sir. You don't care. Just, yes, sir. Because it's the right thing to say. You will not be the first person to do something like that. You know? Okay, I go ahead of myself a little bit. You know the story. I'm going to go ahead of myself. So you know that you are not the first person. You are shouting, yes, sir. You're not the first person. In Matthew chapter number 21. Can you go there? Let me show you. So if I say it, I know you know the verse, but let me say it. This father came to the son. Go to my vineyard to work. Did I give you that? I gave you that, right? Okay, I didn't give you that. Oh, sorry. Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 28. You see there. I'm just going ahead of myself. Let me just do that. Because this is your yes, sir. He's still doing me somehow. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Yes, sir. This is the guy that said, his first one said, answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went, right? And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. Come on. But did he go? Are you in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. Oh, you carry gun now. You're not the first person. People are fond of jumping into things and shouting, yes, sir. He said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. He didn't go. So people are fond of doing this. And that's the challenge. That's what I'm asking. That's why I don't think ever I've had a message titled as a question. But it clicked for me because I knew I had to make us see what it meant. And that's why I said, all right, let's do. Are you in the Lord's army? Let's see. And finally, you are falling for it. Yes, sir. Will you go walk in my vineyard today? Yes, sir. That's the issue. Do you understand what it means to go walk in the vineyard? Do you really want to go walk in the vineyard? What will it mean to you if you go walk in the vineyard? What will you get? And I think those are the things we need to look at and we need to understand. And from this story, I'm not supposed to start from here actually. This is not the before, but from this story, you can see that they are both sons. He didn't go to workers outside. He spoke to his sons. They are both sons. You see now. They are both sons. He goes to the sons. He says, would you walk in my vineyard? Again, you will see. He doesn't relate with it. You have to stay with me because it's simple stuff. I think I have a few scriptures to use this time today. You see that he doesn't mandate them to go. He doesn't do as though they don't have an option. Many believers think they don't have an option, and that's wrong. That's wrong. Because if we say, are you in the Lord's army? You think that you should say yes, sir. Even if you don't want. That you don't have an option. No, you do have an option. The guy says, I won't go. The father didn't say, thunder and fire will kill you. No, he just left. So he left him. He himself sat down, thought about it. He repented and said, why would I not go? I would rather go. And then he went. Come on. But you had the other guy that said, I will go. And didn't go. And you see that he's speaking to his sons and he leaves it up to them to decide if to go or not. And they had their free will to choose. It was not an automatic yes, sir. It was not, I will do it, yes, sir. You didn't say, neither was it a force. People mistake this. Neither was it a force, something you had to do by force. They were not forced to go. He would have said, you go to my vineyard today. And then the guy would go grumbling. Not like what, you know, the word of God is powerful. I told you I struggled yesterday, and it's true, struggle. Because it doesn't conflict, there's no contradiction. He doesn't say you have to. There's no way. He doesn't say you have to. He shows you, he tells you, he makes it clear that you have an option, you have a choice. And if we don't think we have that choice, then we would say yes and not go, and then we'll trap ourselves and become guilt and all manner of things will come upon us. And that's what he doesn't want. That guy repented and went. There's an option here. Come on. You receive your salvation. You accept your calling. I said you receive your salvation, but you accept your calling. There are two different things. Okay, I said the second time before people began to note. You didn't take notes of it the first time. It didn't click. I said you received your salvation, but you accept your calling. Now, if you look at this story, the children, they did not decide to be born by this man or not. They received it. It happened that they were born by this man. That one, you don't make a choice for that. You receive it. You say, oh, this is my father. So you receive your salvation. But when it comes to walking in the vineyard, you choose to accept or not. It's in your Bible. I'm going to continue to show you and show you. So you can decide what to do. That's why sometimes people think that we are here, there's thunder. There's no thunder. I choose to be here. We are both saved. Our salvation is by the grace and love of God. That doesn't change. That won't change. Two sons, he says. He had two sons. They are sons. They're not strangers. They are sons. They received. Now they'll bear the name. They will bear the name. They will probably be attending the same school. If one is 4 and one is 2, they will attend the same school. They'll get the same benefits. They'll eat that night. If they're in the same house, they'll get food stuff that night. Come on. You receive your salvation, but you accept your calling. That is very powerful. I have to fight to find that difference. I have to study to find that difference, to show it to you. And it's there. It's all through scriptures. So from this story, you can see that you are saved by the grace and love of God, and you are a child of God, but you can decide to say, I will not go. You can even say, I go, sir, and not go. So all those possibilities are there. But let's start from the fact that we are actually at war, and there's actually a need. Are you here? We are actually at war, and there's actually a need. So let's look at Matthew chapter number 12. We might just say this, since I've read it already and done this work already. We'll come back to this. It's like you watch the end of the film, and then you now start watching the film. All right, are you here? And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Next verse. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? You see that there? How shall then his kingdom stand? So you see clearly, I think believers need to wake up to the fact that there is another kingdom. I say that I've done some work in this direction before. There is really another kingdom. He said, how then can his kingdom? A kingdom is not a joke, oh. It's not a joke. A kingdom is organized. There's structures. Every kingdom will have an army. So there's an army against another kingdom. But you read let's read the next verse. Next verse. And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Next verse. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. This was my lead verse when I taught about kingdoms. The kingdom of God is upon you. So there's a kingdom of God, and Satan has his own kingdom too. And these kingdoms are structured and are at war. We are talking about this kingdom who wants to hold men down in depression and destroy their lives. While then we're looking at another kingdom that wants to help men come out into life and enjoy the life that God has destined for them. The Bible said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. You see, the two kingdoms are in straight, clear contrast. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So there's this kingdom is real. And this kingdom has armies, soldiers, structures to fight and to keep the people in bondage. The Bible said in Acts 10:38, it said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see? So you see that there's this kingdom there operating, and there's this kingdom here desirous to bring men out of darkness and to bring salvation and light to their life so that they can fulfill God's plan for them, these human beings. This real kingdom at war. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Kingdoms at war. So then Satan, don't look at Satan as one man running up and down. I think I tried to do that. If you could get that series to be a blessing to you. Then you think that Satan is just there confused on the street. No. No, it's a real kingdom. He wants to keep people in darkness. That's why we organize ourselves. That's why we have leaders. We have structures. We have somebody working here, this one working. That's just how he does. It's a real kingdom. When you talk about the kingdom, please don't think about it like they're just running on the streets and no, they are trying. They are working deliberately to keep men in bondage. And they are working diligently to ensure that the people you preach to and the people you talk to, they don't move. That's real, though. And let's tell my leaders, we're not selling tomatoes. This is real. They're against you. You know, when you preach, they go, no, they will come to us, they will start. You are praying behind, you are doing that. That's who they are organized to do that. It's a real kingdom. I think when believers don't understand these kingdoms, they don't understand the army of the Lord. They don't understand kingdom. They don't understand the army. They think that it's a joke. That's where people are just playing. You don't understand this kingdom thing. You wonder that why are we saying, are you the Lord's army? What was this army for? What will army do? I mean, we are enjoying life. Everything is straight and going. No, it's not straight and going. There's a demon force opposing everything you... I've never come to you yet. They are after you. And I keep telling you, the problem, I don't know I don't know how believers want me to say this thing. Pay attention. From wherever you are, pay attention. They are after you. You know what I'm saying now? Ha! They are after you. That is, most of the time, you don't think things are just going straight. No. They're not just going straight. They are after you. They want to get you. So they are after people who are out there, and then they are after you in here, trying to ensure that your life don't work. They want to ensure that your life don't work. The goal is to see that the things that you do, they don't succeed. I mean, do you understand that? They should wipe out play. Because when you do something like that, sometimes people are like, "But let's not fear. This is, wake up. This is awareness. You are at war. So, what to him? He wants to destroy your life. He has not stopped. He's still looking for avenue to enter. Bible says, Apostle Paul says, give no room to the devil. If you give him chance, he will enter your house and scatter everything. Scatter your marriage, destroy everything in your life, job gone, frustrated, you'll be gone. I mean, he'll run you to zero. That's what he wants to do. So if you know that, you wake up. Now, we have not even started talking about you. We are talking about people here and there. So, but the first thing you need to see, understand, is that there's a kingdom. And people don't understand that. People can give their lives to Christ and don't understand that there's a structure. There's a structured force against you. Sometimes we tilt too much to one side or to the other side. When we talk about the structured force, we talk about people don't talk about it after you say your word. I always say this thing. Let me say this to you. When I say they're after you, they are after you. I'm not talking about people in the village. I'm not talking about people who. Do you understand? I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness. They can use anybody. So your real problem is not somebody. You're actually dealing with a kingdom. I can't move. I'm not moving because you guys are looking at me like this guy, you're talking nonsense. Do you understand what I'm saying? My problem is my uncle. My problem is these people. You don't have a clue. When somebody says that, I know he doesn't have a clue. I don't care the title he has. I don't know. I don't care about the number of people in this church. I don't care. I'm not telling you. He's talking nonsense. The people sitting in front of me, they are just blank nonsense. It's not. It's a structured kingdom, not a person. So it's not just about three people in your village. It's about a kingdom that is after you and will do everything, including ensuring that somehow the iron is set too hot and your clothes burn. That's not your uncle in the village. I can't change my message. We'll do that matter. You don't get it. The structure is set that they want to destroy your life. The kingdom of darkness can use your boss, uncle, auntie, neighbor. It doesn't have to be village. People are so myopic to be thinking village. Neighbor. Do you have to? Sister. So the kingdom will operate through anybody to get to you. Anyhow. So there's a kingdom. In waking up to that helps you see that you have to be alive to who you are in Christ and get up and participate in the kingdom. Waking up to that helps you see as a believer why people don't just now flop and they're just church and just coming out. Why you preach Jesus and I say, I'm coming and I don't come. You have to not understand that. What's the structure there? It's not the person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. That's where we are wrestling against. Not people. I've preached that also. I've told you. People are always thinking that they are wrestling against flesh and blood. They are fighting uncle. That's dumb. That's dumb. Relate to the power of 1 million. It's not flesh and blood. It's clear.
So there's a structure. Once you see that, hey,
you become wise. You now know, oh, now yeah. Remember when Jesus said to Satan, when Jesus said to Peter, the way I put it, it's almost, I was not trying to be nice. I didn't try to catch that, phrase it like that. But you see, I said, remember when Jesus said to Satan, but actually it was to Peter he was talking to when he said, get here behind me, Satan. It's not uncle in the village. There's a kingdom that wants you to miss God's will for your life. It can come from anybody. If that person is speaking outside of the word of God, outside the will of God, it's Satan. He will use him anytime. No, you get that. There's a kingdom that wants to ensure you don't reach your destiny. There's a kingdom like that. He wants to ensure you don't reach your destiny. And he will use everybody. He will use every means. He will use offense. He will use everything to make it happen. But since I am aware that I am at war, there's a way I behave. There are things I don't even bother about. You can't use anything. I just turned towards my wife. And what came to my mind is, he said, not pushing me for us, but I'll still say it. You can even use your wife. I said, I can use your wife. I only thought the thought came to my mind because I'm seeing her. But other married people, yeah. So I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to anyone. I don't say it can come from anywhere. But the thought hit me when I looked that direction. I'm like, yeah, anywhere. Best friend, Peter said, nothing will happen to you. No, touch you. Get behind me, Satan. I see the kingdom there. The kingdom is always contrary to the will of God. Always. I see it there. I see it operational there. If we don't alive to it, we would think, you say, my friend was telling me, if friend is speaking from kingdom of darkness and it's affecting your life, Facebook, WhatsApp, it can come from anywhere, status. The kingdom is everywhere, pervasive, and is everywhere. And so the devil is trying to get you. That's what you need to know. He's trying to hold people in captivity. You see somebody's life going in the wrong direction. He says he wants to go that direction. You are wondering, why would this person choose this thing? If you look at the cost of this lady's life, it is bad. You even know it's bad. She even knows it's bad. And you come and preach the gospel to her. And you know that with the gospel of truth and the life that you carry, you'll be able to help her or help him and bring that person up to a place where the person will have a good life. That is bad. But you wonder why he don't come to church. You say, if you think and where, he will come. If he can, because we provide, we'll do this. No! What do you think is holding the person back? Simple. There's a kingdom. Structured. With lies. Deception. Still go one more time. Still do this one more time. Still continue like this. If you can't go to church. You say, you're not even good for church. You say, you'll be Greek Christian. You want to do? All manner of lies. Bible calls him the father of lies. The kingdom is built with lies. Structured into people's hearts. And destroys their lives. There's no life outside of God. There's no peace, joy. There's no peace and joy outside of God. But it's so hard for you to tell people to come to him. It's so hard. Why do you think that is? The kingdom. We are at war. And in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, you will see what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. He says, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see that there now. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I told you, when it says prevail, you see the word there, you see the word, we've looked at that meaning of that word, prevail. They will not overcome it, they will not stand against it successfully, all that word. But I want you to do something. If you consider the word prevail, and you consider it that a military term, and we remove that, and you remove church there, and you put army, you might even enjoy it better. And he said, also said unto, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my army. My army. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Because you are noticing now that prevail is military, is fight. It prevailed against him. It prevailed over him. And so, if you now use army there, he said, I will build my army. The army will come from the church. In building the church, I will get there. In building the church, he builds the army. That's why I can replace it. Now, we'll look at it. It's simple. Because remember, I told you just now that the man went to his sons. So when he gets the church together, guess what happens? He gets to them and then he summons them. Right? The larger the family, the larger the army. Are you here? You remember the story of Abraham? Abraham went to war with the 10 kings. Huh? The Bible says that you will not turn in there, but you can check it up. I'm dealing with people, scriptural believers now. You can study who are interested in these things. Bible said Abraham went to war with the 10 kings, and he had servants born in his house who could draw the sword. Who could draw the sword? 300. If you remember. In his house. You see that now. He didn't hire an external army. There were servants in his house, people from his house that went to war with him. Abraham went to war with the people from his house. You get that stuff. Some people know what I'm talking about. You read the story. From his house. It's not a story. So what the Lord wants to do, that's something that shows us. Scripture does not, I tell you, Bible, if you live inside it, you will love it. You wonder why the thing moves me so much, but I don't know how to explain it to people. Prayer life. You can do this thing for, I've been doing this thing for over 15, 16 years. And the scriptures are connecting like this. So you see, the army, so if his house, if he had 10,000 servants, it means that Abraham went to go to work. To go to war, he took from his servants, from his house. So if the house is bigger, then his army will be bigger. So when he says I will build my church, you see his focus is I'm building my church. I will call several in, and then the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It means that church will become a militant church. They will become a forceful people. So these people will not just be people that carry Bible and walk to and fro. They will understand warfare. They will be in the army. I will call them forth. They will join me and then we'll fight and we'll do this work. Amen?
Amen.
I'll build my church. You see that there. So there's a warfare. There's challenge, there is the gates of hell. There is the forces of hell. When we talk about gates, we're talking about the forces. It says the forces of hell shall not prevail against it. So there will be a force in this direction, there will be another force in this direction. Yes, we're at war. So at least that wakes you up, we're at war. And it says, I will build my church. I want to show you another scripture in Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. We're making progress step by step. I'm doing this step by step because I want you to see the thing clearly. Step by step. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19. Verse number 18. Start from verse number 18. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Next verse. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will. So do you understand? I will build my church. I just connected it for you now. Are you here? You see, just now I said I will build my church. No, he said I will, the same person, no, I will make you. So the building of the church is what? Is the making men, is the making the church people fishers of men. The real battle of all the things Jesus could say, hear me, of all the things he could say, when he says follow me, I'll make you a billionaire. No, that's, I know the church is treated towards that. I always say it, I'm not trying to be modest, I'm trying to be a nice guy. Hey, before I be popular, it'll be very hard. And if I get there, I will cause trouble. God knows. I just know. I don't take nonsense. I mean, you can't sit with me. I'll tell, I say toe to toe with any Bible teacher. We will see toe to toe. We will do the scripture.
It's not a discussion. I tell you.
Of all the things he said that I will do, I will make you billionaires. Somebody said, so he said, we'll be, no. He said, I will make you fishers of men. It means that whatever you are, if you are a billionaire, it will be fishers of men. If you are a teacher, fishers of men. If you are, so he's not focused on that. He's focused on the primary assignment, which is that you will be fishers of men. So when he said, I will build my church, somebody said, the church will be very strong, the church will be very rich, the church will have money, I agree. I will build my church. The goal of everything, of all the building, however he builds, whatever he puts on you, whatever he gives to you, will be this in the long run. I will make you. So in the following the Lord, stay with me, people are considering following the Lord so that he can make them rich. And they lose the purpose, the primary reason for that, which is to make them fishers of men. What I'm saying is pivotal. Very important. Follow me. When you hear follow me, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I'll protect you. Nothing with nothing. My guy, now nothing can touch you. All that is implied in I will make you fishers of men. So I want to follow after the Lord. I want to follow this God. What should be in your mind? So the thing that is primarily in our mind is, I want to follow this God. He will make me. Come on. No, they talk. He will make me rich. Come on. Thought true. Follow me. Make me rich. Beyond my wildest dreams. I'll buy cars and houses. If anybody you talk to me anyhow, they'll say, get lost. What would I do me anyhow? They'll see. And so, the problem is that when the purpose of a thing is not known, the problem is we have settled too much for abuse is inevitable. We have settled too much for that one. I agree with that one. I didn't say there are any mistake there. I said I will just be causing trouble everywhere. Hear me well. That is not bad. But the problem is that when the purpose of a thing is not known, the purpose itself will not be reached. It will not be reached. You won't reach it. You'll not even reach it to abuse it. I said you'll be causing trouble. You may even be able to really follow him. Because two of you are not working together. Okay, now you have money. Give now. The small you have, you can't give it. But you are saying he will make you rich. To what purpose? If you don't know the purpose which he will make you rich, it will be hard to be rich. You might strive to be rich. It will be very hard. And when if you eventually get there, we will now start to talk about abuse. You now start to do funny things. Then you now begin to question church, God, the stuff. You question everything. Before long, we can't even find you. Why can't we find him? He has become rich. That's why sometimes, truthfully, we need to wake up to the fact that the Lord is slow. And so just sometimes, some weeks ago, I know for me, for example, I've told you what pastor is 16. I've seen the one of him. I've seen people, I mean, carry people, they start making money. I'm not telling you Bible, chapter, maybe small. I mean, they lost. It's always amazing how God helps people in my front, two eyes. People that have been with me for long will know these things. We've had several of them. Several. Why are you saying? And I went to go. Somebody has gotten job, accommodation, and not have time for God inside the church. That is a miracle. This guy said he saw a man, an old man in a dream. And he was walking, and then this old man came to him and said, come, follow me. And And told him something. I can't really remember that stuff. And then he did that, followed the man. I knew that man was Jesus somehow. I mean, this person was walking in hearing this. And then this boy, from nothing, began to grow financially. Began to grow, began to participate. With coming around, doing all that. We now got to the point where the same person could tell me how he started. What? He didn't even have time. He didn't come. Before you know anything, everything going down here from there again. Before you know anything, lost. Just him again. I'll continue my journey. You think I'll stop church for one person? No. I've had several stories also of people that God has blessed and they've continued in a path. I've had several. So I can tell you one thing. If the purpose of none is not known, the first thing probably is that you might never really get there. But the second thing is if you get there, then you now talk about the abuse is inevitable. Because he says, follow me. I mean, if all he could say, follow me, Peter, I will change your life. Come on. The reason why he didn't say that is because this is the primary purpose. I change your life so that I will make you. My process is to make you fishers of men. I will make you, so let's put it this way, I will make you a mighty soldier. I'll make you a mighty soldier. So this is what I want to. This is what he really wants to make you. If you are following Jesus, you are in one pasture. Whatever you are hearing the sound of my voice, if you are following Jesus, this is what he wants to do. You will be stable, rich, stable, and you will be what? Fishing men. You will have a good family, this will work, and you will be that fishers of men. I will make you the only way. One thing he wants to make, that's not a. I mean, that has challenged me. Find a place where I say, follow me, I'll make you stable and the governor of the state. Never, you won't find it. You know, he doesn't want to. No, not. Are you here? I didn't say he doesn't want to make you governor. I say he wants to make you fishers of men. So if you know that, whatever you are going and however you are going and you are following him, is that you become fishers of men. The end product, the end is fishers of men. The end is not governor Abilonia. The end is fishers of men. That's the end. That's where it's taking everybody to everybody. Are you here? I build my church. I will build my church. I will make you fishers of men. That's what he's saying. That's what I'm doing. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are at war. And this thing is real. It's very important that you see that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, point one. Point two, which I started with. You are saved by grace because of his great love flowing from his mercy. Right? So, take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. If you miss this, you will miss the purpose of this thing. You miss the purpose of your walk. Why are you in a relationship with God? Is the question. Why are you following him? Look at the guy, people he called. They are following him. He said he wants to make the fishers of men. Fishers of men. When you take the problem is that we always trust ourselves and our desires into these things. When you take a story like the story of David, and you see that David was picked up from shepherd boy, or anybody's story you like, where does he end up? Where did David end up? Let me tell you where David ended up. In the lineage of Jesus Christ, of the seed of David. Jesus, then. I know it's going to be tough. You say, so that's what I want to be. You are not understand. That's the problem. You have that short-sightedness will not make Christian life work. It will not make that one work. It will work. That short-sightedness. So his plan, taking David up to kingship, rulership, is so that a seed, David's seed, he said your seed will sit on this throne forever. But when we take their stories, we take them to the point and see what God made them hear and finish. No. He always took them, made them that thing, and that thing, the end product of the whole work of God in their lives. Do you know when he took Abraham, he said, my Lord has blessed my servant Abraham, and his servant Abraham, and his servant is rich in cattle, rich in gold, rich in this. That's what you are hearing. That's the problem. Then we say, Kasha, Rua Bekete, Rikete. And somebody says, Pastor is saying that is wrong. You are talking to the, in short, you just know you are not hearing anything I'm saying. I'm saying that taking him, and when Abraham's servant was talking to this, he said, and God has blessed my master Abraham, and he's rich in gold, rich in cattle, rich everywhere. Abraham has stuff. Alright? Why? So Isaac, come on. Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, come from there. Come from that man. That's how you are saved today. All that gold and silver was just something on the way to make him a blessing. That's it. You have to understand that. When you understand that, you can walk with God. Your walk will become sweet and interesting. The goal of God for your life, every life, is to make you fishers of men. Is to put you into that business of catching men from the kingdom of darkness. If you don't even understand that, you will find that your salvation seems to be pointless. Who did salvation even help? Last, person we know save, we know they go to church, he get money pass you. What's really the purpose? To give you money. I mean, if it's to give you money, you can make money without coming to church. I just want you to know that. If not all of you know that, because some people don't see, some people don't see his God is there. No! And there are many sources of wealth, many parts of the world. You'll be working diligently in your business, and forget God day. Like on Sunday now, go open shop. We were there, you don't sell. You don't sell, so they put money for pocket. We're there, church, they talk English. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? That's not it. So you know, if somebody asks you, why did he save you? Say, he saved me to give me money. You're like, to save me to give you money. He said to send Jesus Christ to die and give me money. But why are you going to church? You see, that's the question. There's no purpose to the things that we do. There's no purpose to singing in the choir. There's somebody can sing in the choir and say, I'm not singing. Ah, I don't see, there's one gig out there outside. You don't know why. If I sing this year, next year, I sing. Maybe you will now be happy that I'm singing in the church. Then, come on. Why are you all pretending in church? You now give me the money I'm actually looking for. Okay. Then you're not singing. You're not finding out that girl that is not singing. Ah. You see what I'm saying now? What's the purpose? So salvation don't seem to have purpose. Many people's salvation don't seem to have purpose. They don't understand. So they can take that salvation and throw it away. So then you can go and preach and you're talking to somebody like, what's this sweet talk? What did they talk? So if you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to somebody. There's no purpose. So I'm speaking to Christians. So I'm saying, if you don't understand that what he wants to do, I will build my church, I will make you, that he saved you, I want to carry you through a process. Process is building you, training you, equipping you, so that you can be fishers of men. Look at salvation. But God, who is rich in what? In mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Next verse. And had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places. You are saved and built, and all this sitting together in heavenly places and carrying all this power is for the next thing. Now, have you seen this now? You see, he saved us, raised us up, did all that. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I mean, now we are starting to look at something critical. Second Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9. Alright.
Can everybody read for me this verse from beginning to end? 1, 2, go. Oh, hallelujah. Take notes. Who had saved us? Huh? After that, what did he now do next? So you see that there's a difference there. He saved us. After saving us, we are now inside house. We are now members of the household of God. He now called us. So there are two different things there. This is where I find the difference. I told her, I said, it's funny when we say every child of God is in the army of God. I said, it's not true. Because you read that, that's everywhere. That's what everybody's saying. I'm like, no, it is wrong. Because we push people and we tell them, if I take a sample, for example, right here, I sweep right here now. I say, but I know everybody says, so I saved. Say, if I ask you, everybody saved. Then we'll not say, you not say yes. Because you say yes because you feel that it is compulsory, it is the normal thing. But that is not true. That is not true. I will show you. I'm going to go two more, then I'll let you go because I don't think we'll let you go today. But let me learn this one. It will help you see. Because this salvation and calling, that's what I battled for through. And it gave me clarity and to show you so I can teach it because it's part of my job. Who has saved us and called us? Two differences entirely. He has saved us and called us with an holy calling. The calling is not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, his own work. You see that? You see that now? Can I show you one scripture quickly to join this one and make it sweet? If you are here, if you are not here, you don't want to be sweet. But look at it. Who has saved us still and called us with an holy calling? The calling is holy because the God is holy. We'll go there. A holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. No. This is not talking about he saved us. This is talking about he called us. He called us according to his own purpose. The saved us is saved us. Love. I love you. I care for you. Be saved. But the calling now has a purpose. Now, quickly go to Romans chapter 8. I'll show you another thing there. 28. Look at it. You see call here again. You see called again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Huh? To them who are the... You see that there now? This is them who are called according to his purpose. This is not saved. This is called. There's a difference. Because the calling will have to be accepted. The calling is according to his purpose. The salvation is free. You are saved. The calling is according to his purpose for your life. And then you accept that one. You receive salvation, but you are called, accept the calling. So you can be saved and decide not to accept his calling. For example, let me tell you why you can't say that calling, eh? Is everybody's called? Everybody's called. No. Where is everybody's called? Please don't mistake. Everybody's called. The acceptance is what I'm trying to say. Let me show you this. For example, I'm saved, right? But I am also called. My calling is this church. Let me quickly just point out to somebody that would not fight me, at least. I would point out to, is surround me as a shield. Huh? Everybody knows who surrounds me as a shield. Huh? If you say calling, and the calling now is that everybody's saved, everybody's calling, it will maybe mean that our calling is the same. But I'm a pastor, she's not. She will not be. She's not interested. It's not male female. Pastor Ketch was a pastor. It's not about female female. It's about the calling. So she sings. And does other things. You're not getting that. Not everybody will be called to do what I do. Or called to be associate pastor. But you'll be called to do something according to his purpose for your life. Do you understand that now? That's why you see saved and calling. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So the thing now, this is another tiny part. I know this message is tough, but please try and pay attention. This is where you now start finding your calling. What is my own calling? I've done this thing before. I said one of the things in church is that we celebrate the people who have found their calling. I found my place. I found what God wants me to do. I'm ready to die for it. Nothing you will do. Nothing you will do will make me stop. Nothing. It has nothing to make me stop. This is the place I'm called to do. The work is tough. I mean, pastoring is tough. If you don't call you my pastor, no trying. If you just, I mean, just damage your life or nothing. But I like it because I'm called to do it. But all of us are saved. So two of us are saved, but I'm called to do this. Somebody else is called to do that. Do you understand that now? The calling now is for you to accept your calling. So we cannot say all saved people are called, but not all saved people have accepted the calling. Do you understand that now? That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I came to tell you today. And so the question is, are you in the Lord's army? Have you accepted your calling? Let me show you this thing there. I just show you now. In Isaiah. Please, let me show you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth is established. Isaiah chapter number 5. Because when you now know, you can now say yes. Not this yes of everybody just say yes because everybody child of God, everybody is called. That's not true. Everybody is called, but have everybody accepted? Verse number 5. No, start from verse number 5. Did I give you verse? I didn't give you verse. Verse number 5. I don't want to read long passages. Just look at it. And now, I will tell you. No, Isaiah chapter number 6. I didn't say chapter 6. So, Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I know the Impikin. I go see him. Trouble don't cast. I don't die. Next verse. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from off the altar. Next verse. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is what? And thy sin is what? That means you are what? Saved. Now that word is used, no longer word is you. Right? That means you are saved. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He first saved him first. But notice when it came to salvation, he didn't make a choice. He saved him. He brought the call and saved him. There's no discussion. No, hey, who is saving? No. But when it came to sending, Isaiah had to accept. He didn't accept salvation. He saved him. God carried call from fire of heaven and touched his mouth and saved him. Your sins are purged. Your sins are forgiven. Finish. Paused means paused. Washed away. Paused. Then he now says, and so if you look at verse number 7, you see it ends with the fact that you are saved. In verse number 8, the next thing that we see is, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? This is where he says, then said I, here I am, send me. Thank you. I deserve this one. I deserve it too. I deserve it. I don't tell you lie. I studied up and down. I don't tell you lie. I said, this thing is tough. This thing is a lie. I know this is wrong. When we just say, all of you, because we make it look as though it's automatic. It's not automatic. Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. He says, who will go from? He's not the door for a front. Say, guy, who will now go? Who will send? But let me just now enter us. He just saved him just now, nah. He just saved him. He could have said, Isaiah, go. No. We make a mistake. That is wrong. Anybody teaches you. Okay, I'm telling you. Anybody teaches you is wrong. It's wrong. It's not teaching correctly. The thing here is that you are saved. You have to accept to go. Or else you can be in the house and eat rice and jollof rice and eat his turkey and get divine protection. Eh? Nothing will touch you if you know who you are in Christ Jesus and not accept your calling. Yes. He accepted him. He saved him. No, you not say, who will go? You know, go. You know, go. Give me the call back. No. Saved him. I think you are back here with me, so we can go today. When we now say, are you in the Lord's army? Aha. That is the question. Are you saved? It's a different question entirely. Correct. You are saved. You are free. Your sins are purged by the blood of the Lamb. But the Father, the Lord, he now needs people to recruit. It is from the people that he saved, whose sins he purged, washed by the blood of the Lamb of his Son, that he will not say, I have something I need to do. Who will go for us? You see that now? It is now left to the man to say, ah, guy, this is, I'm saved. Send me, I will go. Just like Mary said, be it unto me. You know Mary had a choice. You always make it like if she had to burn Jesus. She didn't have to burn Jesus. That's a lie. Nobody had to do anything. I don't even have to preach. If I say I will not preach, I will not preach. And nothing will happen. I'm not joking. I'll carry my Bible and read this. Nothing will happen. I won't preach again. Eh? Nothing will happen. All those thunder, fire kill you, lightning kill you, is not God. That's a lie. You see, if you just do this, if you don't tithe your life, you've not just woken up to accept that your finances will help the gospel. It's a simple thing. That's not the truth. That's the truth. Some of us have woken up to the idea that we are now sons in the house. Eh? Unto us, a child is born. Eh? Unto us, a son is given. Say, I'm a son. That sonship is the power that we use. That's the power that will help you. That's the faith you have. Huh? Sonship. I'm a son. They never decrease to come near me. You see, I've accepted something. But a child will remain a child. A child is born. You can do that. If you're not afraid, in the name of Jesus, hey, God, you always afraid. That's a child. But when you accept sonship, that's the difference. But to say that he will hold something from you, he doesn't hold jack from anybody. But first of all, you need to see that there are two differences entirely. Salvation is one thing. You are saved by grace because of his love, great mercy, when he loved you. Simple. You receive salvation. You just receive. But when it comes to calling, he will call and then you will have to answer. He will say, I need somebody in the textile industry to be my mouthpiece. And depend, you will say, I'm in the textile industry. Here I am, send me. He will say, I need somebody in the hospitality industry. Huh? Then you will say, here I am, send me. I need somebody in the tech world who is doing online work, like it's always around me. Huh? If he now says, I will not, he will say, okay, and go. It's always up to us to accept the calling. I already showed you this scripture. I told you this was the end, but I showed you at the beginning. He came to his two sons. They were his sons. He gave birth to them. They eat in the same house. He said, go to my vineyard and work. The guy said no. He didn't say, thunder will kill you. He said no. He went to the other guy. The guy said, yes, sir, I go. He didn't go. So the thing here is not salvation. It means automatically you now feel as if you are bound. You are not bound. He will never force you. And if you are thinking he's forcing you, you will not be saying, I'm not a preacher, I don't know, I can't do this. But no, it is a thing from my heart. I say, Lord, today, I accept your calling for my life. What you say I should do, I will do. Many of you, when you see pastors, let me tell you your mind. I know what you think. You think that we were terribly excited to be pastors. Terribly excited. We were not, though. Many. When I first had call on my life to do this job, I refused. I love you. You think I don't know what to do with my life? You think I don't? You think this suffer while you suffer? You think it's sweet? You think I don't know? So that's what some of you are thinking. I know people don't look at part of that. I don't know what they do. Huh? People, they will not cost you on top. Ah, I know you do. I do. He call 3 years. Huh? It seemed became clear. This is the purpose of my life. I'm not saying I was not saved though. Child of God, burning on fire, speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost. I won't do this job. There are different jobs. I will do another one. We had a choice. Though. I have a choice. I have a choice to be here this Saturday or not to be here. Or to have one gig in Abuja and travel. And say, preach. But I decided to say this and this. I said, this is what I want to do. I made up my mind and I used to run around. So your calling is something you accept. Your salvation is something you receive. So it's up to you to determine. If we now ask, are you in the Lord's army? Don't say yes. It's not by force. The Lord's army is not, are you in the Lord's army? Just, no, don't say yes. Just relax. When I say Lord's army now, we'll start to define that next week. Army is not pastor. Army is the people he will use to fulfill his purpose on the earth. So, he said, Lord, use me in my industry. Lord, use me here to talk to somebody. Use me to be light to somebody and all that. You will accept that role. Then he will flow through you. Then you will not be, you are working with him. He will not begin to train you and help you. Are you here? So you see, there's a difference between salvation and calling. I mean, Isaiah's matter made it very clear to me now. I said that one was sweet just now. I didn't sleep. You ask the Lord question, you have to give your answer. Study this thing, find it out, look at it for yourself. Because if you jump to say yes, I mean, you can say no. You can say no, I'm not. I really don't want to. I want to be saved in your house and enjoy your house. You will enjoy the house. You'll be there. You'll be there. But you will not even find the purpose of God. Have you sat at home before? Well, some people can do it. Though. I don't know. You sit at home. You eat chicken, rice, sleep, wake up, watch movies, do that. How long can you? Can somebody really survive like that? Somebody say, I can't. Well, no, people differ. Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I don't believe a human being can do it. Don't carry a broom. Don't sweep the asshole. Don't even sweep. They'll clean out the house. They'll come and go, those people usually carry rope and kill themselves. Why do you usually commit suicide? Because there's no purpose to life. There's no meaning. They won't begin to say this is a prison. They want to escape. I mean, there's no purpose. There's no meaning. You don't think it's possible. So when Christianity tells you, when they tell you that Christianity is to save and you just sit down and you not say no, I'll be eating. Even you retire, you won't come to church. You won't come to you. Well, no reason. You are a Christian. You just say, Christianity, God is in my house, is in my heart, and you go home, and you do all that kind of thing. Like, this conversation, this is where I wanted it to end. This is where I wanted it to end. So I want you to begin to consider your calling. Your salvation is not in question. We know what is that. Will you say yes to the Lord for him to move in your life and use you to touch somebody? And you are a Christian, I know. You already said, I know. Me don't know since. I don't see her. But would you allow the Lord to use you to touch somebody? Would you, when the Lord say, here I am, would you say, when the Lord say, who we sent, would you say, here I am? When the Lord say, go into my vineyard and walk, would you say, I will go? That is a choice. When you make that choice, we can now start talking about the purpose of everything else. The church now needs to make sense. Giving now makes sense. Outreaches make sense. The organization now makes everything now makes sense. Some people think, just say organized religion. This is not organized religion. These are some people who have answered yes to the Lord and they just randomly begin to serve and jump and take up things and do things so that more souls can be saved. The more, the merrier. Will you bow your heads this morning? Consider the purpose of God for your life. Consider God's plan for your life. Consider Isaiah. How this man was saved.
He says, woe is me, I'm undone. As in this, my life has gone. And then he says, the angel took a coal of fire and touched his mouth. And when he touched his mouth, he said, your sins are forgiven, your sins are purged. Also, the next thing, I heard a voice. Whom shall I send? And so if the Lord comes to you and calls you, if the Lord says, this is what I want you to do, will you step up and answer? Would you say, yes, Lord? Are you in the Lord's army? I'm not saying, are you saved? Are you saved is a different question. Are you in the Lord's army is a different question. I'm talking to people who are already saved. Now they need to consider being in the army. Stop all this play up and down. Stop all this play up and down. Stop playing. You are saved. You have to now enter the army. It's still your choice. He will not force you. Isaiah would have stood there and kept quiet. I know if you go. But Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. And now I am sendable because you have purged me of my sins and you have cleansed me. So you say, Lord, it's your turn. Lord, you say, here I am. Send me. You say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. There's a purpose you had in mind when you reached out to me. Lord, I want to fulfill that purpose. Not just to be alive. Not just to be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. Just Christian. I'll go to church. I'll come back. Nothing. I'm not going to participate. I'm going to do something for the kingdom. Kasote ilera maka. Rube kaye. Ezuzu mene. Ali ege zogo. Bada kalike tose. Lord, your children are here. Speak to their hearts. Speak to their hearts. They know what to do. Samuel. You say, Eli, you are calling me? He said, no, it's not Eli, it's not me. Oh. It is God that is calling you. And when you hear that voice again, he says, Samuel, eh? Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Aha, aha. It's your choice. You can say, I don't want to hear your voice. He won't force his voice. You have to answer first. Everybody must answer. You are my child, oh. Alumenaka, Rube Degelaba. Lord, in the name of Jesus, send your summons out today. Send your summons out today. Send your call up out today. Let men's heart catch fire. Let them answer and say, here I am, send me. Ido me rugelema, yando ruge abila ekesa. Enough of just sitting down in the house and lounging. Lord, I am here, I'm in the house. I was saved for such a time as this. Here I am, send me. Idomani ali eku bari bari zazuma. Hey, let the great army arise. Through the fire, through the storm, I am there. I'm ready. Come what may, I answer the call. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ose moto rebaka, letu rebaka, jedu nemene igezom duba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe God for you. I believe God for you. That you will answer the call. You will accept this call for your life. And you begin to serve your Father according to his purpose for your life. You will answer. I pray. I and they that God has given me. We are for signs and wonders. I and they that God has given me. We will fulfill your purpose. In the name of Jesus. I pray that as you follow the Lord, you will become fishers of men. As you follow the Lord,
you will accept his call for your life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will summon that courage and you will say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You will summon that courage and you will accept his call for your life and you will be in the Lord's army for real in the name of Jesus. And you begin to see the bountiful provisions he has for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And you begin to enjoy the purpose of your life. And you see and enjoy purpose and you live in fulfillment in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that you will stand up and be counted in the army of the Lord. I believe that you will be that son, that daughter that will say, "Yes, Father," and you will go for him in the name of Jesus. I believe, like Mary, you will summon courage and say, "Be it unto me according to your word." In the name of Jesus, I believe that sons and daughters, mighty warriors, arise today. In the name of Jesus, I believe that the mighty rushing wind will blow right now in this place, wherever you are, and you will feel that touch of God, and you will know for certain that you should join and pick up your summons in the army of God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. For a mighty army arises for your glory. I see your beauty. I see your holiness. I see the glory of the Lord. I see the glory of God. Cover the earth as water covers the sea. As a mighty army arises. True word pasture. In the mighty name of Jesus. God's people said, amen.